I'm so fucking sick. I'm the king of the world. I'm a genius of useless stuff. Some people, they gotta work while I just hang around. I'm dreaming of useless stuff.
Hey, and welcome to episode 1 of Dorkasm 2.0.
That's weird.
Yay! Yeah, didn't think that was going to happen. It's been a little bit of a break, a little bit of time since we recorded the last time.
Only 3 years.
Yeah, but you know what we want to do? We want to start the show off right and dedicate it to our one fan out there, Sherry.
Yay, Sherry.
Yeah, so thanks for listening, Sherry. Sherry will notice that our friend Nina isn't on the show now because I don't know what happened to Nina. I guess she still lives in D.C.
I think she got married and that whole band thing took off.
All right. Well, there you go. So check out MTV, but they don't play music on MTV. So check out wherever they might play music and maybe you'll find Nina.
Success kind of takes away your whole dork status, I think.
Unless you're Felicia Day. I believe you're right.
I don't know. Megan Fox does play Halo.
No. No. Just no. Okay. So we've got Crispy is with us.
Hello.
That always amuses me. And we've got Kyle with us.
Howdy, howdy.
Yeah, there you go. So see, now you know the voices. I'm Rob. I think I might have said that at the beginning. If I didn't, then I was quite remiss in my hosting duties. So we're going to do things a bit differently than last time, which means that I won't be arguing with Nina for the entire show. So got that to look forward to. But also, rather than what we've got planned, which is a slightly more structured podcast with segments and everything, very professional-like, we're not doing that this time. What we are doing this time is kind of recapping, since it's the beginning of the year, kind of talk about stuff that we liked from last year. Not necessarily stuff that had to have come out last year, just stuff that we happen to have liked over the last year. So sometimes we're not always early adopters. So that seemed reasonable, gentlemen.
Sounds good.
Works for me.
Let's get going.
All right, man. Crispy's just chomping at the bit. All right, so we're going to talk about let's talk about TV first.
All right, which category?
Well, you tell me, what category do you want to talk about?
Let's start with animation.
Animation. Holy cow. You're just really breaking this down. All right.
I broke it way down.
So your favorite anime. And I guess this will be favorite rather than actually the best of, because there's some stuff that's, you know, technically good that I don't like.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start? Or?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Well, first off, I had one of your favorites.
Uh-huh.
Your underrated show, Archer on FX, season 3 coming up.
Yes, it is fantastic.
It is quite funny, actually.
So I just recently watched it this past year, and that's when I found out about it. So.
Yeah, H. John Benjamin is just fantastic in absolutely everything that he does. And what's really great is if you ever see a picture of him, he looks exactly not like what you would expect.
Didn't he do the live-action Aqua Teen episode as Master Shake?
I don't think I've seen that episode, but he did do John Benjamin Has a Van.
As a van, which is
He was Master Shake in the live episode. Yeah, he doesn't look anything like that voice.
Nope.
Great voice.
Yeah.
Next, I had Thundercats. They rebooted on Cartoon Network.
Yep,
throwback to our childhood.
It's a little hokey.
Did you watch the original?
Yeah, Thundercats is a lot hokey. So
point attracted. Excuse me.
And at least Schnarf doesn't talk, which is nice. So. That was always the most annoying part. So, I don't know. I really enjoy it. The animation's really good, and reminds me of childhood. It's always good. Transformers Prime on the Hub. A lot of the Transformers shows recently, all the Japanimation Transformers have been really bad. This is actually done by Jeff Klein, who did originally Men in Black and Jackie Chan Adventures and everything, and. Animation's really good, and I was actually really surprised by this show. I wasn't expecting much and was pleasantly surprised.
You know, of course, I was going to say, you've already hit on Archer, but I think this is not something I just discovered this year, but I think it's consistently pretty entertaining, though, is the Phineas and Ferb.
Yes.
I quite enjoy that show.
I don't know where my 2.5-year-old daughter found out about Phineas and Ferb. We don't. We never let her watch it, and she watches Mickey Mouse Club, and then Phineas and Ferb just happens to be afterwards. She's like, "I like this show." We're like, "Where did?" And now we're all into it. I don't.
Yeah,
know what happened.
It's incredible how, like, even for, you know, people in their 20s or 30s, it's still a great show. It's amusing.
Yeah, it is. It. I've got a shirt that T-shirt that's the color of Perry the Platypus, and it's just his face, you know. And I typically try not to wear it out because out of the house, that is, because my wife got it for me because she thought it was funny. But I was one day, and I was walking into the grocery store with it on when I just realized. I looked down, I'm like, oh, that's the shirt I'm wearing today. And they're selling the Girl Scout cookies outside the Publix. And as I'm walking up, like, all of the Girl Scouts at once just yell, Perry!
Like, screech.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of fun.
It's perfectly acceptable to wear that T-shirt, I think. Outside in the real world.
All right.
So this year we had another season of Futurama. So I think this has been one of the better – well, I guess there's only been two on Comedy Central. But the second season was really strong. It was very good. So the return of Beavis and Butthead on MTV.
Oh, yeah. I did not catch a single episode of that.
I didn't know if it could hold up after time, but it's still the funniest shit ever. The one where they're watching Twilight in the movie theater and thinking that they can get chicks by becoming a vampire. So they have an old hobo who they think is a werewolf bite them. And they end up getting, like, hepatitis. And they're like, the change is happening. It hurts my bones.
Crispy, but, you know, speaking of MTV, have you seen it's an art cartoon. They play it right after Beavis and Butthead, and it's about, like, two kids who are surf bums. It almost looks like the style of animation of Simpsons or Futurama.
Yeah. Oh,
that is actually a very good show.
It looks pretty funny. I've caught on the DVR, you know, the first couple minutes after Beavis and Butthead stops recording, you always get the part of the next show. I see it. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
So I think that we can probably all agree, though, that Alan Gregory was the worst animation on television this year.
I've never even heard of it.
Wow.
It's still Jonah Hill.
Oh, that show. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Yeah. I don't know. I imagine it was pretty bad from the dry sense humor they're going for, but I don't know if you've seen it. The new Looney Tunes cartoon is actually pretty bad. It's hit or miss, but when it's bad, it's bad.
It is bad. But I have found myself laughing, you know, a couple of times, you know, like here and there, like really laughing because it trends more current, you know, than you would think it would. And uses memes and stuff like that, but I don't know. It's mostly miss,
yeah.
For the most part.
That's a good way.
It's not like the Looney Tunes of our childhood. That's for sure. So, see, I had a couple more here that I liked. We had Star Wars: The Clone Wars. It's always strong. Young Justice. I think Cartoon Network. Man, their Fridays are really freaking strong.
Batman is still pretty good. Batman.
I think it's over though. But Brave and the Bold.
It's so sporadic that they were putting new episodes on. They might have just done away with it.
Because I don't know if you saw the last episode, but they had Batmite. It was one with Batmite, who's voiced by Paul Reubens, which is fantastic. And he's getting tired of Batman and thinks it's getting hokey and wants it off the air so a better Batman show can be on. But based on the ending, it seemed like they do, like, literally to the audience, like, a thank you for watching, you know, like, it's over.
Huh.
I hadn't even heard about it.
It might have been because they had gone for such a long period without putting a new episode on, and then they started advertising it on Fridays again, and then it just kind of went quiet again.
Yeah. You know, that show, for me, it was really, really weird to hear the guy from Drew Carey doing the voice of Batman.
Diedrich Bader?
It was also the guy who did the Ash from Evil Dead knockoff on Billy and Mandy. That's why it was always weird for me. Haas Delgado. Yeah.
Oh, he's huge in the voice acting world. Like, he does
He just got such a distinctive voice, though.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, you know, a lot of voice actors, they'll change up the voice, but not him because – that's kind of his whole thing. So it is a bit disarming whenever you hear him do, especially something like Batman.
Well, it actually grew on me. The Joker voice they had never grew on me, but the him as Batman actually did feel okay after a while.
It did. It grew on you. And so, because it was kind of supposed to be sort of cheesy, but in a good way. So, I also had Young Justice. I think that was probably one of the best animated series of the year.
The few episodes I saw, they did a good job. They made it interesting. They took some interesting angles with, say, Superboy being so antisocial and angry, but it was still entertaining.
And then Avengers or Smitey's Heroes.
That one was surprisingly good. Well, they had Christopher Yost write that.
Mm-hmm.
He's an actual comic book writer. That was not surprising. Once I found that out, it was not surprising that was good.
So, and then the last one on my list I had was unfortunately a show that did get canceled, I believe, but Symbionic Titan, Genndy Tartakovsky, who did, you know, Dexter's Lab and Samurai Jack, and it was like a Voltron kind of show, and it was really good and funny, but like everything he does, it was kind of under the radar, more like a cult hit. So that's, I guess we'll end on that sad note for animation.
Dare I ask, do you have comedy on your
– I do. Not much, though. I'll start with the one that you'll like the least. So I like Big Bang Theory.
Oh, that show is so awful. It makes me just want to
– I don't know how you can say that because –
What show,
because
Christy?
It's awful. It didn't make me laugh ever. It's condescending. It's just – it's the worst.
Really?
See, before I ever watched it, I thought that would be the case based on the commercials. But the fact that they use real life – the fact for the most part they use is like real world references. And I thought, based on the commercials when I, you know, first saw it, you know, it was coming out, I thought, oh, it's just going to make fun of nerds. And in a sense, it kind of does, but at the same time,
it totally does.
They're endearing.
Well, Rob, I mean, it does force upon itself at points, but the other thing is, though, the humor really is so off the wall, it's hysterical. There's times where there's clips where you can watch where you can't stop laughing till it hurts.
That is
impossible.
Even
in the comic book store, like, all the props and everything, that's, like, real stuff. It's real shit that's in comic book stores. Like, they actually have a guy on set.
Doing the job doesn't make it a good show. I've watched one episode was all I could take, but I did sit through from beginning to the end, did not even chuckle, didn't smile, was not amused one time. It was so, so awful.
Was it the laugh track that threw you off, maybe?
Well, I don't like laugh tracks either. I suppose I am probably biased against CBS comedies in a way, just because they seem so – they're very old-fashioned. If that makes any sense,
well,
they do have the laugh track. But actually, even just the way they film them seems different. You know what? Here, I'm just going to say my absolute favorite comedy that's on TV right now is Community.
That's one of my favorites.
It is genuinely funny, and it's intelligent, and there's a lot of overarching jokes from previous episode, a lot of referential humor, a lot of meta humor, and
Chevy
every
Chase
episode
hasn't been that funny for
absolutely
decades.
Yeah. And you know, they there's just so many layers of that. It kind of reminds me of Arrested Development in that I just finished watching Arrested Development for like the third time all the way through a week or two ago, and every time you watch an episode of either of these two shows, there's always something else that you didn't catch the first time, and that's that everything that is right with Community is the opposite. If you flip that around, like the evil goatee universe, that's the Big Bang Theory.
See, I don't know, because like in this season in particular, like they had Will Wheaton come on, and he's like Sheldon, one of the main characters, like evil nemesis, like, and he played like an evil Will Wheaton, and it was absolutely hilarious.
Actually, you know what? Okay, do you guys watch The Guild?
Yes.
Okay. No, but I know enough about it.
Okay, The Guild is I'm not going to say it's like the best show of all time. Each episode is like 10 or 15 minutes. It's free on Xbox Live. Felicia Day writes it. That's a show about gamers and that kind of culture that is not insulting or condescending in all the ways that The Big Bang Theory is, and it's a much better done show with like zero budget.
Okay, here's the difference I'll say between the two shows. I think why I don't find Big Bang Theory offensive is because it's a different type of nerd. They're all science nerds, like in geeks, like they're like I think they're like all doctors except for one.
Yeah, they're all like the smartest people in their fields in the world or something.
Yeah, so they're like totally awkward because they've spent their lives, you know, around science, and they happen to like a lot of the same things that, you know, your average nerd or geek would like, you know, like Dungeons and Dragons, and they come up with their own game of chess and stuff like that. So I guess that's why I don't find it like offensive as a dork slash geek slash nerd myself.
But they're socially awkward for a different
reason. Yeah, they're socially awkward for a different, yeah, for a person, you know, their own personal reasons. You know, you got the one Jewish guy with the overbearing mother always shouting at him. But yeah, I'm sure we could probably do a whole freaking episode on that.
We could. I've ranted and ranted about this show.
As long as we are talking about humor, gentlemen, this is a throwback to the cartoon category, so please pardon my
You missed your chance on that.
It's still humorous.
It's relevant.
Have either of y'all watched Adventure Time?
Yes.
It is a fantastic show. You've got Joe DiMaggio doing one of the characters. You know Bender. And it's just such an off-the-wall – it's essentially a living D&D television show, you know, fighting monsters, going through dungeons, and the humor is really well written. A lot of my friends around my age find it humorous. Pretty much everyone I've shown it to thinks it's funny. Very good and worth checking out.
Voted one of the best animated series of the year by like Entertainment Weekly and stuff like that. So it's funny because it's a children's show, but it's got that SpongeBob SquarePants appeal to it.
Very much. So. It does have that dark humor that if you look for it once in a while, you're going to see something that the kids won't be getting, but you do.
So I agree with that one. That's one I missed. But back to comedy, you know, you've got Modern Family. It's still fairly funny, and it's, what is it, second season, third season?
Yeah, it's in season 3 because it started the same time as Community, and Community was up against it. So
we still enjoy that, get a good laugh now and then. And then one of my favorite comedies of the year is Psych on USA. I don't know if you've watched Psych.
I've not watched that one. I know of it. In fact, I made a comment about it today when I saw a commercial for The Mentalist. And I was wondering which show came first because they're like Psych. The exact same thing. You know?
It's funny because Sean, the main character in Psych, constantly mentions The Mentalist and how much he loves it, but Psych came first. That's like, fantastic. I gotta get home because I have to watch The Mentalist. But if for people our age, like, you know, 30s or whatever, that grew up in the 80s, there's so many references to the 80s, just random. It's silly, it's goofy, it's fun. It's probably one of the most fun shows on television.
Yeah, I keep meaning to
watch recommend it, watching it on Netflix if you get a chance.
Yeah, I've been watching a ton of stuff on Netflix, so that's I find myself on the weekends just like bored, and so I will look up stuff on Netflix, and that's on the list. You didn't mention this, but I quite enjoy Parks and Recreation, which the first season was like not very good. It was just very much an Office clone, which makes sense because it's made by the same people. But the second season, it really kind of came into its own, and characters like Tom Haverford and Ron fucking Swanson are just absolutely fantastic.
It's like one of those shows I'll watch if it's on and I find it funny, but I haven't dedicated time on the DVR to it. Honestly.
I should mention also.
Probably should.
It's good. I liked it. It came on after Community, so I would just watch the whole deal. Chuck, which is just about to wrap up, like in a couple of weeks, the final episode. Chuck is airing. Which I started watching because basically, I except for the whole spy thing and having some like smoking hot blonde model girlfriend, I was Chuck. Like, I worked at Best Buy in the Geek Squad. So
everything not about working in the Geek Squad, you didn't have, but.
Yeah, all that. I mean, that other stuff did happen, but not as an aspect of my Geek Squad work. So that was all just extracurricular stuff. So I started watching that just because I thought it was funny that they were kind of ripping on the Geek Squad. and I just wanted to see if they hated it as much as I did. It was actually a pretty funny show. Again, that's another show that Chuck and Morgan are both massive dorks, but they don't never in like a condescending way. So
I noticed they kind of have it's like one of those shows I catch on and off, and it seems like they've moved away from that whole Geek Squad. Like they're all like somehow his friends are all involved in the whole spy world now. And
well, yeah, at this point it's. The first season was about Chuck getting the intersect, the computer in his head. And then the second season was him learning how to be a spy. Because the first season, he wasn't actually a spy. They just kind of kept him in the van like a computer. Only he didn't stay in the van because he's stupid. And the second season was training him to be a spy. And then the third season was kind of the what happened as a result of that. And then the fourth season is he's split from the CIA and going off on their own type of thing. So it's a pretty interesting show, though. It's entertaining, and I like it. So I think that's all.
Move on to drama.
Yes, let us do that.
Okay. Of course, I hit my top on the list is Game of Fucking Thrones. Great show. Great.
You know, that's a very accurate name for it, considering it is on HBO.
It is. Well, there's also a great there's a funny internet video. If you get a chance, just type it into YouTube, Game of Fucking Thrones, and it's a guy singing along to the intro, just Game of Fucking Thrones, Fucking Thrones, and that's all it is for 5 minutes. And there's so many dislikes, but you can't help. I mean, he does that in the entire intro. It's entertaining.
Is just flat out fantastic.
Yeah, I was when I first heard about it coming to HBO, I was like, how are they going to do that? They're so involved. The books are 1,000 pages.
Yeah.
You know, but they did a fantastic job cutting out, you know, what the excess and getting the real heart of what mattered in the books.
Yeah. Because of that show, I picked up the books and was reading them, and he's very much got a case of poor editing. Like the editor is afraid to tell him no or something. Cause there's stuff that could be cut to trim the books down, but I think whenever you're was it the third book, I guess, because I guess the fourth book just came out, if I've got the
fifth book,
the fifth, yeah. Okay, so it was
the fourth book is the one that's kind of like meh.
Yeah, it was, well, yeah, and it was supposed to be, it was the fourth book is only half of a book because he realized he couldn't fit everything into the one book. It was just like, well, maybe
it was
that,
all the other characters,
yeah, maybe that means you get
too
much
going
on.
Care about.
But
like the Greyjoys, I don't care about their freaking moot.
Yes, exactly.
That was terrible.
But, so
hopefully they cut that out.
One a show I just found out about, like thanks to Netflix, was Sons of Anarchy, which mm-hmm. is just it's just amazing. Like the first, do you watch it?
I watched the first couple episodes. It's one of those shows that I'm just going to have to catch on like Netflix or rent. But yeah. I saw them at Comic-Con, and you know, they were signing stuff, and I was like, man, it reminded me once again that I should probably be watching that show.
Yeah. The first three seasons are on Netflix, and I'm like halfway through season three now, but the first season's like Hamlet with bikers. It's really the best way I can describe it. And that's a good thing. So,
another FX show. Too, Justified. That's coming back for a third season.
I have not watched any of that because I don't really care for the lead, Timothy Oliphant.
Really?
Yep.
It's funny because he isn't like the Timothy Oliphant, you know, actor like you've seen in, what was it, Die Hard. He was the bad guy in the Die Hard.
Oh, yeah.
Stay Hard movie or whatever. And what else has he been in? I don't know.
He was in Hitman. He was I am number 4.
I didn't see that this year.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people saw that.
Yeah, nobody saw
you
that.
Would like Justified, I think.
I probably it's would, not, but I just
oh, that's a shame.
There's only so many hours in the day.
Tell me about it. Like some of these ones I have listed I haven't even seen, but I know
now here's,
like, they're huge hits.
Here's a show that I have for me was the biggest surprise of the year. It was a American Horror Story.
I heard that was amazing.
It shouldn't be, because it's made by the people who made Glee, and I fucking hate Glee. As, wow. At worse than I hate Big Bang Theory, I hate Glee.
The thing about Glee. I gotta be honest about it.
Uh-huh.
I liked the first season. Like, we watched it, my wife and I, before it was like, you know, all the, you know, the teenagers and whatever were like, woo, Glee! And then it, the second season, it's like one of those shows that peaks like halfway through the first season. And then
Heroes.
Yeah, like Heroes. Yeah, the Heroes kind of curse, you know, like the first episode was hilarious. And then it got all preachy and then it, you know, and it got full of itself. And it just, I don't, my wife will watch it and it'll be on the background while I'm playing, you know, Star Wars.
See, my wife TiVos it. I get technically DVRs it. I do miss the TiVo with its little bloop, bloop, bloop noises. Anyway.
My wife just pointed out in the background that she doesn't watch it anymore. So she has taken it off.
She does not watch it.
My wife DVRs it, and she fast forwards and only watches the parts with Jane Lynch, which I find very amusing. Like, she doesn't like the songs or anything else. She just likes the stuff with Jane Lynch on it.
Which is pretty funny.
Yeah, Jane Lynch. Now, I'm a big fan of the we both like the Christopher Guest mockumentaries, the Best in Show and Mighty Wind and stuff, and she's hilarious in that. So
even in what was the one with Paul Rudd and
40-Year-Old Virgin?
No.
Oh, she's in that.
She's in like all those the Judd Apatow movies. The one with the kids, the whole LARP.
Oh, Role Models.
Role Models. She was hilarious in that, too.
Yeah. So, American Horror Story, though, because you're distracting me with all this goddamn lead talk. The first few episodes. All right, here's the thing. I don't care about the main characters whatsoever. Don't give a shit about them. But I was very interested in the history of the haunted house, because every episode they would show, at the beginning of the episode, they'd show kind of what happened in the haunted house at previous points in its history. And that's the stuff that I found interesting and I always wanted to see more.
See, what's interesting, I haven't even gotten to see an episode of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But everything I hear about it makes it sound more interesting. I mean, it sounds like it's obviously been very well developed. Because the more you hear about it, the more you want to see it, the more you want to get into it.
Yeah, it's definitely – and by the time you get to the last two or three episodes, everything starts tying together and it all really comes together. It's pretty fantastic. But
Well, the one thing I find very interesting, which I've heard, which isn't so much a spoiler because I don't know about it, they advertise everything with the man in the bondage suit or woman in the bondage suit.
I guess
we don't know. And
the Gimp is terrifying. I mean,
and what I love about that character, without even watching it, is nobody can give me a straight answer on if that character is a ghost or not. That is a very
Did they watch the show? Because there is a very clear answer as to whether that is a ghost or not. There's a yes or no answer to that question.
Well, there we go. I guess that's more reason to try to watch it now.
But yeah,
Catch it before next season on Netflix. Yeah.
That's just hilarious. Just catch it. You don't necessarily have to catch it before next season. That won't impact your enjoyment. But and I will tell you, like the Gimp dude is in the first episode, and it's just terrifying, like, to imagine waking up in the middle of the night and some dude standing over your bed just watching you sleep wearing a Gimp suit. That is just terrifying. Of course, I guess it doesn't even need the Gimp suit for that to be terrifying, but
so obviously you shouldn't be watching this before you go to bed, probably.
Maybe not.
So, yeah, my wife doesn't even hear. She's like, what, American Horror Story? Yes, that's exactly it.
What's the other? I'm going to bring this up too. Breaking Bad is possibly my favorite show on television.
It's also one of those shows that's critically acclaimed and just, you know, it barely gets by with the viewership it does.
But everyone is talking about Breaking Bad. That is another one that is.
They talk about it, but don't watch it, though. That's the problem.
True.
It does very good ratings for AMC. But, I mean, there are AMC ratings too.
Well,
it was the highest rated show until Walking Dead. Yeah.
Yeah. which is phenomenal. One thing I've noticed trending the past couple years is that cable drama has just completely surpassed, you know, primetime network dramas, because you've got Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, you know, White Collar, Burn Notice.
Oh, yes. The new one on AMC. I do love me some Burn Notice.
Oh, love me some Burn Notice.
But the problem, I don't know if it's technically a problem, it's a problem for fans, I suppose, is that with the cable shows, they go like the British style seasons where you get, you know, like 13 episodes, 12 or 13 episodes.
Is Burn Notice still having new episodes?
Oh, yes. Yeah. They split their seasons up into two, though. So you get like half the season in the fall and then half the season in the summer.
Hmm.
So, you
never go very long without new episodes.
So, like, because they split it up with like Burn Notice and White Collar, and then you'll get Loyal.
Yeah, they cycle through. Yeah, actually, USA does it right. Unlike AMC, where you're, I think that there's not going to be new episodes of Breaking Bad until the end of next year. Something like
but then
that.
Walking Dead starts. They could do their second half.
Series. Yeah, yeah. They split that up. Or then, like, Mad Men, I think, just started taping, and they've been off the air for quite a while. So, yeah, they kind of still have a ways to go to figure that out.
So, and another great one that I've caught is Hell on Wheels on AMC.
That, I watch it, and I don't know if I like it or not yet. You know what I mean?
It just ended.
Yeah, I've actually got I've got one or two episodes on my DVR that I have not caught up with. But yeah, I mean, we watch it, but I'm just I can't tell yet if I like it or not, and I don't know why.
I'm
There's
not
nothing
a huge Western
wrong
fan.
With it, but yeah,
you can't you like it, but you don't know why. Maybe
no, it's not that. It's just like I watch Boardwalk Empire. I very much like Boardwalk Empire, mostly
yeah,
because
– second season was phenomenal. Yeah.
Oh, man. Just – yeah.
So that like last episode was like, what? Are you kidding?
Yeah, yeah. So – and I get the feeling like as I'm watching – well, part of the thing that annoys my wife is Hell on Wheels. Their theme music is very similar to the Breaking Bad theme music, and it's nowhere near as good. So, like, you hear that, and just subconsciously, you're like, all right, like, fucking awesome's about to happen. And then
the last episode, they had a great musical montage in the beginning, because it continues from the previous episode, but it's got, like, Mumford and Sons that is, like, it's contrasts greatly with what's going on in the scene, like the mellow music with the action. I was like, okay. This show just won me over. Like, I was like, it's pretty good, but at that point, I'm like, okay, I can definitely see myself watching this from now on. So, all
right. Do we have any more dramas to talk about?
I was going to throw – I haven't watched this yet, but I've heard a lot about it. Sherlock on PBS.
Oh, that is excellent. I am a massive, massive Sherlock Holmes nerd. Like, I've got a bookshelf just full of various Sherlock Holmes-related –
do you
books.
Like or dislike the movies now?
The movies
are so different.
They are very different. I like them, but yeah, they're not very Sherlock Holmesy. Actually, I liked the second one more than the first one because the final battle with Moriarty was actually oddly very much more Sherlock Holmesy than because it all. If you guys seen it, the second movie?
I haven't seen Game of Shadows yet, no.
Well, like
the second one, but heard about it.
Yeah, like the last fight between Moriarty and Holmes, this is not really a spoiler. It, like, they show it on the screen as if it's actually playing out, but it's actually like a battle of wits within their heads, like back and forth. And
it's so like that the was scenes from the first one where they're thinking ahead all the way.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. So, but it's against each other where they're like, well, I would do this move and then he would do this move. And then they aren't fighting because they don't need to, because they already know what would happen. So, that was pretty interesting. But the new one, the BBC one, it's, made by the guy who does, Doctor Who.
Is it the one that left?
It's the current one.
The current one? Okay.
If my memory is correct, and I think it is correct, that's why it actually took so long for there to be new episodes of
Moffat?
Sherlock. Yeah, Stephen Moffat. Yeah, is doing it. And that's pretty sure I'm right about this. Anyway, it's kind of a modern day imagining type of thing. Yeah, it's the current Doctor Who showrunner, and that's why there was such a big break between the episodes, because he had Doctor Who to take care of. So, which is also pretty fantastic, and I love to annoy my wife by claiming that Matt Smith is the best Doctor of all time.
Oh, it's hard to beat David Tennant, man.
Well, actually, she's like a long time Doctor
Who. So she likes the Eighth Doctor?
Tom Baker.
The scarf. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a long time fan's favorite.
Yeah. And then David Tennant is her second favorite. She hates Christopher Eccleston, which I don't blame her. He's not very good.
He was an interesting, very angry, badass Doctor, which I think, kind of.
Yeah, when you're coming from a place where Tom Baker's your favorite, I can see how that would not work. But I like Matt Smith even better. Tennant is the I watched the Christopher Eccleston episodes, but like off and on, and I caught most of the David Tennant episodes. I liked him quite a bit, but I like Matt Smith like way more. In fact, I like Matt Smith enough that I don't miss those episodes. Like I miss some of the David Tennant ones. So
really, I still miss the David Tennant. I do like Matt Smith a lot. I think he's a fantastic Doctor. I know, as a replacement, I couldn't think of anyone better.
Speaking of David Tennant, though, I did catch the Fright Night remake just the other day. Specifically,
you are the reason I went nor the original, Rob.
Yeah, it's fantastic. The original is fantastic, and you know what? The new one, in some ways, may actually be better, and I wasn't aware. I think we just skipped to movies inadvertently.
we'll go back. We've got sci-fi and horror.
Sorry. But it was written by one of the main writers for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But David Tennant's in it, and he's cursing a lot, and completely – it's like he took the role because it's the complete opposite of his version of the Doctor. So that was pretty
really on – we got to get one crucial thing out of the way here. On the Colin Farrell scale of talent, where would you rank it between good, which would be something like, say, SWAT, compared to something bad like, say, Phone Booth?
I don't have a Colin Farrell scale of talent. I saw him in Daredevil. And
did he do decent or did it suck?
No, he was
fine.
He
did good. Movies kind of sucks.
I thought it was very hilarious when the original Jerry from the first Fright Night showed up in this movie. But anyway, all right. So I'm sorry. We'll go back to your TV because I didn't mean to jump ahead.
So of course, the dorkiest of all categories would be the sci-fi horror. So pretty much my list is, we've got Walking Dead, of course.
Uh-huh. Which is good, and I'm a big fan of the comics. I've read all of them, and it's weird having read the comics, like waiting for characters to die or be introduced. So
yeah, because it's completely different, in
yeah.
the TV
oh,
show.
Oh yeah, it is. There are characters that should not be around at this point, but
so
that's what makes it interesting for me.
Yeah, then you have all the sci-fi shows. You've got Eureka, Alphas, Warehouse 13, all in Haven, all strong, in my opinion. Felicia Day as an addition to Eureka this season with Will Wheaton and the whole triangle, love triangle, was really good.
And that's about to finish up, if I remember correctly, isn't it?
They have 0.5, yeah, they didn't make it a full next season. They were allowed by sci-fi to have 6 more episodes to kind of wrap things up. So unfortunately, it was just getting too expensive. So, but even though the numbers are really good for sci-fi, as far as ratings go, on Fox you still have Fringe hanging in there.
Although they just said that maybe not a renewal.
I don't know why they're not. No one else is. It's Friday night, It's like
They said that it's doing fantastic for Friday night. That they love it for Friday night, but I think it's the same thing. It's expensive to make. It's kind of surprising because Anna Torv, Olivia, her uncle is Rupert Murdoch. So I was shocked that they would think about canceling her show. That's a show that really kind of came into its own, too, because the first season was very kind of monster of the week-y a lot of times, and once
they got rid
of that.
I don't mind that so much. It was the first like couple episodes with her and the partner that died that was her lover. Like, I didn't care at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Then once they got into, you know, Walter and and all that, I like, you know, it got really – second season was excellent, and I enjoyed the third a lot. Or it's just the second season. Yeah. And then I had a couple on here, which might be, you know, slightly controversial. You had I know a lot of people thought this is just, you know, Jurassic Park and
– I know what you're going to talk about. It's Terra Nova.
Terra Nova.
I watched Terra Nova.
Iffy.
Yes.
And I really got into it.
They
got rid of the dinosaurs so much and actually became an actual, like, drama in a prehistoric age.
Yeah,
so,
the first several episodes were not good. And to the point where you know what? This was – I'm watching on demand, so I'm still a few weeks back. So if you haven't seen it so far, then spoiler. But where the episode where they blow up the time portal and all.
Oh, that's near the – that's the two-part finale. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
when
really, I think,
real.
Yeah, exactly. When it's like, all right, they've got a plan. They're doing something besides Jurassic Park. So
yeah. So I don't know if it's coming back, but
yeah, because that's another very expensive one to make. So.
And then I also had, what was the other one I had here? Oh, Grimm.
Ah, good. That was what I was going to talk about next. That show is surprisingly not awful.
No, unfortunately, the lead is a lead brick.
Yeah,
he
really,
brings everyone
really
else
is.
Down.
He makes
but
the guy who starred in Superman Returns look charismatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's unfortunate because that show has a lot of potential. I love all the fairy tale tie-ins.
Yes.
You know, like...
speaking of which, I tried watching Once Upon a Time.
Ugh.
Yeah,
ugh.
That show is so bad.
Nothing fucking happens.
That's exactly the problem.
So I
wanted it to be good. I wanted something. I like the premise. I kind of like the premise because I really love the comic book Fables. and I
Which
really feel
be a
like
television show.
They did a pilot for it and it didn't get picked up. And then I heard about this and I'm like, oh man, somebody owes Bill Willingham a check. So.
Yeah, it's funny because this is like going to be the year of Fables because you had Red Riding Hood, the movie. You had Grimm, Once Upon a Time.
Movie.
And then you have Snow White and versus the – or whatever,
Snow White
and the
Huntsman, yeah.
Which, you know, even though it's Kristen Stewart, I am looking forward. The trailer is great. So I – Charlize Theron.
Yeah, and then there's the other one I can't remember the name of with Nathan Lane and Julia Roberts.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so I – you know, you think they would hop on the Fable train. All right. Well, let's quickly do the worst of 2011 that I had specific ones. Shit My Dad Says. Taking everything I liked about the Twitter. I mean, that's the only thing I followed on Twitter.
Hey guys, sorry to interrupt. Rob, were you talking about Mirror Mirror with Nathan Lane?
Oh, that's the name of it. Yeah, I could not recall.
And then, so Shit My Dad Says. Probably one of the worst comedies of the year. No Ordinary Family. This is like the boring version of Heroes. Family that doesn't want to use their powers and like argues every episode and then comes together in agreement at the end. And the special effects are horrendous. And I felt bad for Michael Chiklis for doing this one. The Event. That was earlier this year.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Highly rated.
One where everyone blacks out for so long, right?
No.
This was people from the future.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
It
went on break, and then I didn't try watching it when it came back because it was just really not good.
No one else did either. Yeah. It's funny. It was so highly rated, and then people forgot.
Yep.
And then came back. No one watched it. And then unfortunately, I put The Office. I wouldn't say it's worst, but it compared to what it was, it's just not good. Anyway, so I mean, there's been some bright spots, but
I like Robert California.
Well, I think a big one on everyone's mind would be Two and a Half Men. Ever since Kudrow took over,
see, and I never liked it.
Yeah, the show was awful to begin with. It couldn't get worse because it was already
See, I don't know.
It's the same creator.
It was hysterical because Charlie Sheen was literally typecast. I mean, I even heard once when he got put in rehab before the whole breakdown because he was drinking and beating his wife or some such, and then came back, more people started watching it because it was the same exact character on the show as in real life.
Yeah,
yeah,
oh yeah.
That show was just awful.
They got mad when he acted like himself. Which
yeah, I've seen like the only thing I've seen of it, because I couldn't bring myself to even watch an episode of it, is just the commercials, you know, like that they run endlessly, and those are not amusing. Not even kind of amusing.
No. So, does anyone else have any worst stuff for the year?
No, that we've already discussed the Big Bang Theory, so.
So, 2012.
And the Looney Tunes cartoon.
Looney Tunes cartoon. So, the most anticipated of 2012 in television. You have Alcatraz coming up this week.
Oh, yeah, with Hurley from Lost.
Hurley, another J.J. Abrams. So, it could be one of those that's really good to begin with, and then has the hero, you know, kind of has a hero's curse or whatever, could fall off, you know, mystery prisoners, ghost prisoners that come back, you know, could be interesting to Alcatraz. So, and the team that's there to, I guess, put them to rest, I don't know, could be good. We've got, on AMC, I haven't gotten any verification on this, but I heard a one by Kevin Smith called Comic Men.
Oh yeah.
Takes place, in a comic book shop, Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. And mm-hmm. It's all, I guess,
reality show,
just nerd talk about comics and everything that.
Yeah,
we
they've
love.
Actually. If you watch the Kevin Smith movies, the guy who always says "Tell 'em Steve Dave," is a guy that the manager of the shop. It's one of his, you know, friends from like high school, and they've actually got a podcast called "Tell 'em Steve Dave" that they do.
Okay, so yeah, it's I got it that it written down here that it starts February 12th on AMC. I don't know if that's true, but that is what Google says. So,
yeah, the story I heard about that was that like the producers of the show, they know that Kevin Smith, he writes comic books occasionally, sometimes finishes up series too.
Yeah, on occasion.
Anyway, they contacted him to. Because they were wanting his input, like to be a consultant or something, because they wanted to put together a reality show about people that work in a comic book store. And he's like, I own a comic book store.
So, I mean, that one could be really good, especially for all the one fan that listens to our podcast.
Yeah.
So,
Sherry, we're talking to you if you like comics.
Sherry, that's yours. another one that I caught doing a little bit of research, Life's Too Short with Warwick Davis. And it's like a Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, I have seen a clip
with Ricky Gervais. And so it's like, what if, you know, because
yeah.
Peter Dinklage got the, you know, the Emmy for Game of Thrones, and Warwick Davis is like, what the fuck? I've been doing, you know, little person shit for years, and yeah. I haven't got any recognition. So it's kind of like in that same vein.
Yeah, it is. So. It's fantastic. Yeah, Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant, the guys behind The Office and Extras, which is also a fantastic show. Yeah, I saw
just Coming to America.
A clip for that on YouTube. If YouTube, I think you just YouTube like Ricky Gervais and Liam Neeson, where Liam Neeson comes in and he says he wants to do comedy and he wants Ricky Gervais to teach him how to do or help him do comedy and stuff. And it's just absolutely hilarious. And you guys should check that out.
Cool. So those are my three like live action. I wasn't too thrilled with what else I saw yet this season. You know, we haven't gotten to a lot of the fall stuff yet. And then as far as animated wise, I know Ultimate Spider-Man coming. I saw a preview of this at Comic-Con. It looks fantastic. Animated series on Disney XD, I believe.
Yeah, they scrapped Spectacular.
Spectacular, yeah, it's been scrapped for a little while now. A couple years, I think. I like that one too. But Ultimate Spider-Man, yeah, looks really good. And another Spider-Man series, you know. Obviously, that's in conjunction with the new Spider-Man movie, which we'll get to. Green Lantern animated series starts up. Another Bruce Timm cartoon series. It is in 3D. I didn't get a chance to check out the sneak peek of it when it was on earlier or later in 2011. But from what I heard, it's good. So it's Bruce Timm, so it's going to be strong for DC. I guess there's going to be a Justice League, like a DC Super Friends. And it looks like it's the same people that did Teen Titans. I'm curious to see what's going on with that. It's kind of cheesy from what I saw from the previews, but, you know, you're introducing, you know, a new generation, so we'll see. And then TMNT starts on Nickelodeon this year, a 3D animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, more like the original comic, supposedly. But we'll see. So those are my most anticipated television shows of 2012.
That is very, very thorough.
We might have to speed this up.
I think we're probably going to have to
several episodes here.
Yeah, we're going to have to split this up. We've been talking for like 50 minutes.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. Just on TV. Somebody really likes TV. I'm not going to point any fingers.
Me. I have a child. It's what you can do.
Yeah, good point. I don't know. I don't have a child. I have a cat. So I can leave the house anytime I want. It takes care of itself. Very self-sufficient.
Rob, do we move on to comics or do we move on to video games?
I think we're going to move on to splitting this up into a separate episode, actually. Like I say, we're going to be hitting the hour mark. And we don't want to bore Sherry.
You guys want to do comics real quick?
All right, we will do comics real quick. This was the big year of the DC Comics rebooting everything. The problem is that everything that you know about DC Comics, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, forget it because none of it happened.
Well, wait. Elaborate for me, guys.
Let me finish my intro?
Sure, why not?
All right. Forget everything that happened before. Except for the stuff that DC wanted to happen. And they don't tell you what that is. So, all right. Now, what's your question?
All right. Didn't they only scrap some of it? Aren't there still some comics from before still going on?
No.
Or
No. Every comic that they did canceled. They canceled everything. Including, like, Action Comics and DC Detective Comics from when the DC and DC Comics comes. They've been running since, you know, the goddamn 30s. Forever.
What, 72 titles they rebooted or something?
52 titles.
52.
And then they scrapped the rest of them.
They got rid of – and actually, they didn't even reboot 52 titles. They canceled everything. And then the next month there was 1 month where they put out two comic books. They put out Flashpoint number 7 and Justice League number 1. And then the month after that, there were 52 comics out. And some of them were existing titles like Action Comics, Detective Comics, Batman, Superman, that kind of stuff. Some of them were brand new comics, sure to be canceled soon because, like Mr. Terrific, because there was a reason there was never a Mr. Terrific comic book because nobody wants it. Anyway, so that's. And so then there's.
Black Batman book, what was that one?
Batwing. Yes,
so.
Batman in Africa. And that's the thing. So they're like, all right, like. The thing with Superman, he's all the old Superman comics, they never happened. Action Comics is actually showing kind of how he became Superman. The problem is, all the stuff that Grant Morrison just did with Batman, that apparently happened because there's references to Batman Incorporated. There have been three Robins, even though Batman's only been Batman for not even 10 years. Somehow he's gone through. Four Robins. There's been four Robins in less than 10 years. The Green Lantern, it literally started from the end of the very last page of the canceled Green Lantern title.
Gray-haired Green Lantern?
Well, that actually, he doesn't have the gray hair. That was because he was infected by a space parasite that was the living embodiment of fear, but just ignore that. Did you say Chillax? Because that's pretty funny.
Parallax. Chillax. It's chilling. Yeah.
So it's just a big mess. That's the thing, though. They don't tell you what, you know, it's like, just forget all the stuff that happened. It's a fresh start, except for the stuff that we want to still have happened. And it's just a mess, and it's annoying.
So what I was going to bring up, and I had this pointed out to me. So apparently, like, Starfire is just a complete nymphomaniac. Teen Titans, Starfire, right? Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Starfire.
Starfire. Like, she's just, you know, is emotionless, you know, and just has sex for fun, apparently. And I guess this was causing some controversy because she was, you know, a role model for young girls and stuff that liked comics. And, you know, all of a sudden, like, they just draw her and she's, you know, naked pretty much all the time. And then
That was going on before they rebooted.
Was it? Okay. I just know that, yeah, a lot of times that, you know. But now she was just like, you know, she even plainly says this in the comic book, like, you know, I just, you know, that I'm independent. I can do what I want. And I don't know if you guys thought this was a, you know, good thing or not for, you know, to just continually, you know, perpetuate the whole idea that comic books are, you know, big boobied women and, you know, that's, you know, that's how they get guys to read them. Or, and then I guess with Catwoman too, like the first title, like, she just meets up with Batman and they have a pretty graphic, you know, sex scene on top of a roof. You know, Batman has his tights pulled down and everything. And is, you know, it seems like DC's going, you know, the whole, I know that what they wanted to do was more like Marvel and be more down to earth, relatable. But does that include like being so focused on sex or not, in your opinions?
I don't see Marvel being completely focused on sex. I don't see that being their selling point.
No, as I was saying, do you think DC's doing it wrong by going in this direction then?
Probably, because I know Starfire and Catwoman have always been main sells for the, you know, the female population of DC. Starwoman or Starfire has been portrayed as a strong woman. If you look at, say, 52, where she was one of the ones stranded in space, one of the, like, four people. And Catwoman's always been kind of the embodiment of the woman on her own, especially ever since they did the reboot about half a decade, 8 years ago, something like that. Especially they've been drilling in, you know, even Selina Kyle not being Catwoman, they've always drilled in that she's able to stand on her own and take incredibly strong situations. I don't know if they were leaning her towards being a female Batwoman, but she did start encountering more, you know, the metahumans, and they really portrayed her as, you know, strong woman. So just turning them into nothing but sex objects, it's kind of a strong step backwards.
I don't think it's a company-wide initiative. I think it's just the choice of, you know,
those particular writers.
Writers, yeah.
So I was just curious because I saw a whole long thing about, you know, someone had posted about their daughter, and like they asked their daughter, you know, why do you like Starfire, like from before, you know, like from, you know, Teen Titans cartoon show, and then she got into comics, and it was really interesting, just like her opinion, like she doesn't like Starfire anymore because why does she have any clothes on, and this is not someone I can relate to. And that's what DC was trying to go for, you know, with this whole reboot. Was like, originally they were, you know, epic characters, but I think people liked Marvel because, you know, they were relatable and they had real world problems. And I mean, what kind of real world problem is, you know, Superman going to run into? Yeah. A lot of the time it's hard to come up with that. So I was just curious what your guys' take was on.
Now for my my favorite comics, 2011. Fables is always excellent. We've already discussed that. Somewhat, anyway. The biggest surprise for me is there's Marvel's been doing this thing for the last year or two where they kick the main character out of their title, give it to a secondary character, or sometimes a completely unrelated character in the case of Daredevil and Black Panther.
Yeah.
Keep the numbering going from the original title and then give the original character a new title starting over at number one. So, like, Bucky got to take over Captain America. Well, Captain America got a new title. But the one instance I'm cool with this, Thor got a new title. The old Thor comic got renamed to its original name, Journey into Mystery. And it's The Adventures of Kid Loki. And this is an absolutely fantastic comic. I can't believe that I'm, you know, it's actually the comic I read first whenever I get it home from the store.
Is it Goofy or like The Adventures of like Loki and like Thor and all that when they're younger?
No. Well, see, Loki died a couple years back and he was reborn, but he's in a child's body now.
Mm. I'm guessing this was after Siege when he was Lady Loki.
Yes. Yeah. This was after the whole Dark Avengers type of stuff went down. It's just – basically nobody trusts him because they know the old Loki. And so he's just he's still like the trickster god, but he's not evil necessarily. He's just, you know, tricky. So it's funny, but it's not goofy. It's, you know, just kind of humorous. And Thor is, well, actually, Thor is currently dead.
Again, they just brought him back a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Thor's dead again. So, although he will be back, but there's some weirdness going on involving that. That's a whole storyline, actually. Like, nobody remembers Thor except for Loki. So, yeah. So that is probably my favorite. The Spider-Man comic is very, very good now. A lot of people dismissed that whenever the Devil got rid of basically annulled Peter Parker and Mary Jane's wedding. But that comic is really, really good now.
Well, it's been a hit and miss over the last couple of years. American Son was pretty good. The stuff they did with the Thunderbolts was pretty good.
So your couple of years actually needs to go back to about 5 years. American Son was like 4 or 5 years ago.
I think it was like 2 or 3, but...
No. That was running whenever I was still shopping at the comic book store that was down the street that has since closed, and that's closed over 2 years ago.
Well, the other thing I was going to get at was, if you want to talk about Miss, Jackpot was definitely the biggest one, and I know that was right after the reboot.
That was immediately after, and that was, 4 or 5 years ago. So, yeah, it took them a couple of story arcs to kind of get their feet under them, but they've done it. So that one's... is pretty good. The Avengers titles are, I don't know. I've been fairly unhappy with the Avengers ever since Brian Michael Bendis kind of killed them. So the X-Men titles are similar. They just split up again, and like Wolverine has half the X-Men, and Cyclops has half the X-Men. And
is X-Factor an X-Men?
Well, X-Factor is a whole different thing. That's a detective agency.
Well, in the Marvelverse, it's they tried to milk Deadpool too hard, but the core series was still pretty good. Deadpool Max was a little rough. The Deadpool Corps, once they started making that all about aliens, got a little stupid. It was a cool concept to begin with, especially the humor out of Deadpool and Lady Deadpool. But
actually, Deadpool in the Uncanny X-Factor is... not X-Factor, X-Force is really, really good. That's a fantastic comic.
Another fantastic one, we were on the topic of DC, we're still talking about comics, but one that was fantastic that is really a shame they're not continuing would be Secret Six. I think that was one of the strongest ones they had going, and they KO'd it earlier this year. Even towards the end, the character development, how they had the... It was the same as when it debuted back with Crisis. They really gave some character and depth to underappreciated villains.
Like Catman.
Yeah, indeed. They made Catman a badass. I think they gave a little too much humanity to Bane, but they showed his more animalistic side towards the end. I believe it even capped off with trying to make Bane a little more animalistic, but since it was a reboot, it's kind of a null point.
Was that Gail Simone that did Secret Six? Which she did the original Secret Six.
I believe so, because I know there was still a female writer, but it was it was still strong even going out. For God's sakes, you know, Rob said, spoiler, they pretty much take on the entire Justice League in the last episode, or last issue. So it went out very strong.
So, well, you know what? My voice is going out, so I'm going to call it an episode. And we will have to come back and talk more about...
So yet to come, we have Best Video Games of 2011.
You know what? That's only fair. It was, you know, we'll dedicate two hours to the previous year.
There's a lot of good stuff.
We'll cram 365 days into 2 hours.
There was also some big disappointments and some just straight up crap.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that too.
Now that happens.
So all right, that's it for Dorkasm Episode 1, Version 2, Volume 2. I don't know. I'll figure out what I like better later. So, I don't think we had a sign off last time. Anything I said that was funny and witty?
I don't believe so.
I don't think I very rarely say anything funny or witty. All right, so just check back later. How about that?
Another episode next week.